Well, thank you for sharing. I really enjoyed that. Obviously, being in Thailand, having some international experience, it's interesting to see how different countries compare. And I just realized it this morning, it's the needs all around the world are the same. What you guys saw there in Uganda, okay, maybe not the medical needs, maybe not. They might not be as poor in Thailand as they are in Uganda, but the needs are all there. There's emotional needs, there's spiritual needs. They're all there. So I'm going to be going a little bit different direction than, I was trying to think what I have to share this morning and what Eve and Mel were sharing about. It's a little bit different. And yet it does tie together. So, because everything in the kingdom of God is related. So, is that, yeah, okay. All right, so one of my college classes this semester was descriptive astronomy. And it's from a secular position, so it's kind of interesting to see their argument for, like, the Big Bang and their explanations for young stars. Blue stars are considered young because they're still fairly dense. They're very hot. They're bright stars. Blue stars are the ones that make up most of the stars that we see. There's some giant red stars that we can see just because their mass is so big. But I just found it really interesting. And then to compare that to the creation story. And the one Sunday morning I was sitting here, and actually I think it was when Marion Miller was here, all of a sudden it hit me. There in Genesis 1, 16, I'll just read it. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. It's almost like an afterthought. It's like, you know, talking about God created this, God created that, like all the things that we see, the animals, the birds, and of course he made the sun and the moon. It's like, oh yeah, and he made all the stars too. It's like, well, okay, let's look into it. So the pictures in the backgrounds are going to be changing, but this is a picture of a galaxy. I don't know if it's actually our Milky Way or not, but there's hundreds of thousands, and actually probably hundreds or billions of millions of stars in a galaxy like this. It's so vast that we cannot begin to comprehend what or how much is out there. So I'm going to be talking about a lot of numbers, a lot of distance. So just stick with me. I think it'll all come together at the end then. Yeah, the phrase, and he made the stars also. So of course, we have our beautiful world, our beautiful earth here that God created. We have the animals, the plants. Crit mentioned that this morning. But I want to look beyond our world. And of course, we're fairly familiar with our solar system because it's closer. Let me see where I'm going with this. Okay, so this picture here is actually of a nebula. Now, there's two different types of nebula. One is a, do they call it a gas nebula? I kind of forget. The other one is a planetary nebula. They're just different shapes. This would be more the gas nebula. But the photos are just so beautiful. I just couldn't stop looking at them. on and on. Anyway, okay, so just a little order of business here. We're going to be looking at scientific notation. Does anyone know what scientific notation is? Some people would. Yeah. So it's a form to shorten down big numbers. So on this side, that's scientific notation for 1 million. So it's pretty simple. This number has to be between 1 and 10, or between 0 and 10, actually, I think. And then you just simply move the decimal point, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and that goes in the exponent up there. And if you're familiar with graphs, let me see if I can, aren't there, okay. If you're familiar with graphs, exponents always go up. So as you add a zero, or as the exponent gets bigger, it jumps further and further and further. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, so to go from 5 to 6 is smaller than going from 6 to 7. Does that make sense? That's why it's called an exponent. Okay, so just so you understand that, I'll be putting some of those numbers up. I'll also be referring to some distances in miles, but then once we get further out into space, we'll be talking about a light year. Wait, is that next? Okay, just some pictures of different nebula. Sorry, I just can't help putting them in there. Okay, so the speed of light. Does anyone know what the speed of light is? In miles, or miles per second, miles per year? 188,000, almost. It's 186,000 miles per second. I don't know if what you were, yeah. 180, it's just over that. It's like 186,252 miles per second, maybe. But anyway. And then a light year is the distance light travels in a year. And the number is right around 6 trillion miles in a year. anyway, we'll put that in perspective a little later. In a different way. Sorry, so this way. So the Earth's circumference at the equator is almost 25,000 miles. And if light could bend, now light doesn't bend, we know that because it creates shadows. If light could bend, and you would shine a beam standing on the equator that could go around the Earth, it would go past you 7.5 times every second. Sorry, you don't too soon. That, it's, the speed is just crazy. Sorry. Make sure I'm... Oh, another way to put it in perspective, light from the moon, so obviously light is reflected from the sun, or off the moon, from the sun to the moon to the Earth. it only takes about 1.5 seconds for light to get from the moon to the Earth. The Apollo that the astronauts went in to get to the moon took 3 days, traveling at about 25,000 miles per hour. Yeah, just mind-blowing. 25,000 miles per hour, still took 3 days to get to the moon, and light only takes 1.5 seconds. So, okay, let's talk about the sun a little bit. So this picture is actually a picture of the sun, but it's taken under several, so it's a combination of pictures taken under different ultraviolet filters. But I just think it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. About 93 million miles from the Earth, that's about 8 light minutes. So when sunlight hits you here, it left the sun 8 minutes ago. maybe I should ask how much time. Or when should I end it? Okay. All right, so try to put stuff in perspective a little bit. we'll use a scale of about, of a factor of a billion. So we're making it from the actual size, a billionth of the size. To a factor. The sun is about 5 feet in diameter. Now, I'd like you to see this. So if somebody is about 5 feet high, if you could come up here, I would appreciate it. 5 feet tall. Just come up here and join me on stage. Anyone want to volunteer? So I'm about 5'6". So person should be about this height, roughly. 5'1", 5'2", 4'9", no, not 4'9", 4'11", that's fine. Any volunteers? Oh, there we go. Jethro, okay. Just stand up here. What did I do with that? Okay. All right, and I need one more volunteer. Don't worry, it's not a specific height, just a volunteer. Anyone? Okay, Emily. All right, so this is the diameter of the sun. That's Jethro. Hold that. Just hold it up like that. That is the size of the Earth. And this is to a factor of a billion. So it is fairly accurate. So the moon, now this little ball is a little bit small. Hold that in your other hand. And hold it about 16 inches away. Maybe a little bit further. Yep, there you go. That might be closer to 18, just a little closer. There you go. Okay. That's about perspective. Now, obviously, the Earth is way too close to the sun. We would never survive like that. But how far away do you think it has to be? Any ideas? Okay, Emily, come here. Start walking down the hall. I'll tell you when to stop. Most of you won't be able to see it. Keep going. Keep going. Okay, keep going. She's about at the other hallway. Keep going. About at the bathrooms. Okay, actually come back. You won't be able to go far enough. So if Jethro would be standing here, about at this wall, Emily would have to go down to the, pretty much out on the road, actually, out on 772. If you follow the building straight down there. You can come back up here. It's about 165 yards is what it would have to be. Okay, you can sit down again. Good, you can sit down. Thank you. About 165 yards. So that gives you a little bit of perspective of distances. And actually, that is very close. All right, and on that scale of a billion, or one factor of a billion, I should say, the closest star would have to be over in Thailand, on the other side of the world, actually. So gives you a little bit of perspective of how far the stars are out there. And that's the closest star, okay? okay, so... Okay, I won't talk about the planets, but... The entire solar system, including the dwarf planets of Pluto and Eris, fits in a 6 billion mile cube. One of the brightest star systems, and actually one of the closest star system meaning at least two stars that orbit around each other, is called Alpha Centauri. It is one of the brightest stars. Now, I'm not sure about that. Okay, I won't say it then. But there are 4,778 solar systems would fit between the sun and Alpha Centauri. Does that make sense? So 6 billion times 4,278. That would be your miles. I don't have it. Okay, so it would actually be 2.6 times 10 to the 13th. So that, are there whiteboard markers up here? Yeah. I actually don't have that number offhand in light years either, but anyway. Thank you. It'll work. I think so. Well, if you can see it, 2.6 times 10 to the 13th. Just an astronomical number. Speaking of astronomical, the words astronomy and astronomical are actually related. And that's where we get, when we talk about something really big, then it's astronomical. Okay, so Alpha Proxima, I don't know if that's how you say it. Oh, I got stuff a little mixed up here. Okay, actually, we will go to Betelgeuse, I guess, is the way you say it. I'm not entirely sure. Do you know, is that right? Okay, Betelgeuse, Betelgeuse, there's lots of different ways to say it. Where did Josh go? Yeah, okay, go ahead. So, a little more perspective. So, Betelgeuse is actually one of the largest stars in our universe that we know of. Doing some research, there is one that's a bit bigger. This is the one I chose to use. It's a giant red star, and it is one of the stars in Orion, in the constellation Orion, if you're familiar with that. It is 520 light years away. Just set it there on the stage. Or no, just hold it. Just stay up here. okay, so a little perspective. So if this is Betelgeuse, then the size of the sun would be about this end of the needle. That makes sense? So that's how big Betelgeuse is. Betelgeuse, if you put it in our solar system at the center instead of the sun, it would engulf all of the inner planets up to Mars and almost out to Jupiter. Just set it here on the stage. You can sit down. Thank you. Now that's the size of the sun. Do you remember the perspective of the sun with the 5 feet, with Jethro standing up here, and then the Earth that small, it was half an inch. But then putting this in place of the sun, some of these numbers, it's just, a lot of the study that I did with my mouth wide open. it's just phenomenal. It is one of the largest known stars. and to think that God just simply said, let there be light. And there was light. He created the stars also. It's almost an afterthought. It's just like he just kind of did whatever. And all of these stars, all of these galaxies, these, yeah, phenomenal. Okay. Alpha Proxima is the closest star to Earth. It's a mere 4.3 light years away. So it's fairly close. Yeah. Yeah, just 25 trillion miles away. I do have quite a number of verses here that actually talk about stars, talk about the heavens. Isaiah 40, verse 26. Now, I'm going to read it in the NIV because I feel like it brings it out a little better. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. How many billions of stars? They don't even know. Like, scientists, astronomers don't even know how many galaxies, how many stars are out there. They have rough estimates, but there's only so far out into the universe that they can see. And yet God knows each one by name. Just incredible. This is a short video. This is our Milky Way galaxy. And it'll show a circle of all the... I'll send a link on the chat afterwards. It's a 23-minute video, but it's really, really good. I have two different clips from it. So the little circle that shows up on here is our galaxy. And previous to this, they had talked about different stars. Including M4, which is a globular cluster that is 7,000 light years from Earth. So it's just, they mention it in the video, so that's why I wanted to clarify that a little bit. Yeah, it's just watch it. shoot. Why wasn't it coming through? It was coming through my speakers. Oh, I think I... Which one is it? Can you see it? Epson projector? NP? Okay, yeah, NP, then other stuff. All right, let's try this again. Oh, there we go.
As shown here, it is difficult to grasp just how large our galaxy is. Our solar system is located here. In fact, with the exception of M4, all the stars and planets we've visited are within this little ring. The Milky Way is a remarkable demonstration of God's power. But what's even more amazing is that our galaxy is merely one of billions. Every one of these faint clouds is an entire galaxy. As we pan upward, we see a strange...
Starting to feel small yet? It's a little humbling, right? Hebrews 1:10 says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand." Oh, there's a verse in Psalms 8, I think it's verse 3. It says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Let's keep going here. I think this is the verse. No, yeah, it is. That's the verse I had read from the NIV earlier. I forgot I had it in my PowerPoint. Okay, so this is another clip from the same video a little bit later. This is obviously, they don't know for sure. This is just a computer animation, I guess you would call it, of what they think the universe looks like. So all of those little dots are like galaxies. And then he talks about, they zoom back in all the way into Earth again. And each square or circle that we go past is 90% of the remaining distance. So it starts out, you can see a circle and a square, I think. And once you get past that, you've already traveled 90% of the way back to Earth. Just pay attention to the circles and squares going past you.
Writes, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" We will now travel back home by zooming in by a factor of 10 every 4 seconds. The little circle is 10 times smaller than the large one. Every time we see a new circle, we've traveled 90% of the remaining distance home. The strings and voids of galaxies seem to disappear as we approach home. We plunge into the nearest several dozen galaxies called the Local Group. The Milky Way becomes visible at last. We're approaching our galaxy from almost directly above. We enter the Milky Way between two of the spiral arms. We can now see that these arms are comprised of billions of stars. As we approach our solar system, the stars slow down and converge to their familiar positions. We pause briefly to note that we are now able to recognize the constellations. Orion is visible on our left. The sun is dead ahead, but from this distance it appears as a faint star. At last, we reach the solar system. The orbits of the outer planets are highlighted. We can now see the orbits of the inner planets, but the Earth itself is still invisible from this distance. The Earth may seem an insignificant speck compared to all that God created. Yet, this tiny world is where God placed the crowning jewels of his creation. Of all that the Lord created, human beings alone have the privilege of being made in God's own image. And though we have rebelled against our Creator, he's paid the penalty for our treason. It was on this small planet where the Creator of the universe became a man and died our death. He then rose again and has offered forgiveness for all who call upon his name. It is fitting that we should honor God for who he is and for what he has done.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I find it amazing that a God who's created the universe, as large, as vast as it is, as diverse as it is, I didn't even talk about the different types of stars a little bit, but there's so much diversity out there. It's incredible. And yet, we're all familiar with the verse from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." A God that created all those stars, all those planets. They know of thousands of other planets out there, but they don't know of any other life besides the Earth. And a God that created all of that loves us, loves you, loves me. Two passages I'd like to close with here. Luke 12. You know what? It's not 5 and 10. It's 6 and 7. Luke 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Quick question, does anyone know exactly how many hairs they have on their head? No, I don't either. Yet God does. He has created the stars, the universe, the galaxies, and yet he knows how many hairs you have on your head. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. My last passage here from Hebrews 4. I wasn't quite sure where to start, because Hebrews seems to kind of run everything together. The writer just runs everything together. It's hard to not pull stuff out of context, but I'm going to start in verse 12. Hebrews 4, starting verse 12, going through the end of the chapter. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There again, a God who created the universe. From the stars that are hundreds of thousands of light years away, millions upon millions, billions upon billions of miles away, yet he loves us. And we can enter boldly into his throne of grace.